celebrate and Friday show, but do what you need to do. You're invited, though, to come on out if you want to. I'm going to be at the Hardee's on the Bill Clinton Highway tomorrow if you want to help me. And I'd love to have you. We can celebrate the game and laugh and carry on. But stay the hell away from that building on Saturday. Can you? You got that?
I'm not going, Tom.
Good, very good.
You've warned me. I'm not going.
That's all.
I may make an appearance at the Vandy game.
That you can do that. Because here's the deal with the Vandy game. I'm looking at the numbers being out. Even you won't be able. When you talk about, and I got to look up how teams have done after they've played Kentucky this year. Tennessee has played Vanderbilt, guys, 87 times all time in Knoxville. How many times they won?
It's 70-something.
It's 70. 70 and 17. That's with a team that had Wade Houston here for a couple years. That's pretty good.
No, Wade's problems, Wade's record against, Wade did better than you would expect against the Vanderbilts and Kentuckys of the world. Wade's problem was beating Western Carolinas and the Arkansas Little Rocks of the world. Still, his last year when beating Rocky Hill Elementary would have been tough.
Guys, this team is somehow three wins away from finishing 9-9 in this league. And with this team, that will be an amazing accomplishment, I think.
It'll be one of the great coaching jobs. Like somebody told me tonight, tonight's game, for what we are, that's one of the great coaching jobs I think I've seen. What? Where? How?
Yeah, it's amazing what they've done. Hey, I'd rather beat Vandy in basketball than anybody in this world. Kentucky, Duke, the old Soviet Union, Taliban, I don't care. I'd rather beat Vandy in basketball than any other team in the world. So it's a great night tonight.
Thank
you. I'd rather beat them the way we beat them.
Yes.
Cut their heart out. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. It's one thing, and I love Beano to death. It's one thing. Please come see me tomorrow, Beano, because I'm going to be exhausted. It's one thing to beat somebody half field. It's another thing just to rip their guts out.
Especially in their building.
In their building. That's a pretty sweet win. I'm really glad we don't have a basketball crowd here because all lines are currently jammed as Beano vacates. That line is immediately. We've got thousands of listeners listening to us from all over the country right now. It's 24 past midnight. And when I tell the Jeff Goodmans of the world, people like that on the regular show about this, they go, are you kidding? Are you kidding? That's what they say to me. I told Martelli, I said, we do an after game show here, coach, and we get calls 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, in Philly, we don't even have a show. We've got two sports stations and nobody will talk about college basketball in our city. Back to the phones we go. They're too busy breaking Chip Kelly down and what he had for breakfast today. And looking at Chip Kelly, it was a rather large breakfast. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Boss Man in Hatfield, live and local from Music City, USA. The magic of Memorial returns, but this time there's a new magician, and I'm not even sure Houdini could have escaped with 6 seconds and change left in that game.
Wow. What do you do for an encore? You make Feltsy disappear?
Guys, I'll tell you something. That's one of the most impressive coaching jobs I think I've ever seen, particularly being live in that building.
Oh, my gosh.
Every time he called a timeout or made a substitution or ran an inbound play in the last, minute or so of regulation, I kept looking at the guy I was sitting next to going, man, I don't know that I can process and think as quickly. I don't know how a guy processes and thinks as quickly on his feet as that guy does because I'm analyzing what he's doing after he's already called the timeout and they're breaking the huddle to inbound the ball.
That guy's
got a totally different gear when it comes to coaching.
This guy's a great coach. I'm going to tell you something, B.O.B. This guy survives this, we're going to win a lot of basketball games here. I feel 1,000% confident that that's the case.
Well, if you look at the roster tonight and look who contributed and how they contributed, number one, we had no answer for their post. I mean, zero. I don't know why they shot a three after the first 10 minutes of the game. Because when they started missing, I thought for sure they're going to load that post up. They made double post us. and just keep feeding that ball inside because we didn't have an answer. You can't out-jump 7 feet, and Tariq Owens just isn't ready to play against the level of what they have on the court. But somehow our defense got it done. So that was one observation. Second observation is this. Derek Reeves hit one of the darndest three-pointers I've seen him shoot all year from the top of the key in that first half and then followed it up with another shot out of his rearing in the second half. He is more than atoned for the missed dunk against Mississippi State and then some tonight. He played a great, and he had a save to keep the ball inbounds at the end of the game.
That was the biggest play. That was another, obviously, that Hub's tying the game. That was the biggest play of the game, was running down the loose ball up one that ends up with Josh hitting two free throws to get us back up three. I mean, that's the biggest play of the game.
Incredible.
Certainly the overtime.
The athletic ability the guy has. That guy's a great athlete. Armani Moore's a great athlete. You know, Armani Moore did not play his A game, but he still did things to contribute tonight.
One of the things that impressed me tonight, guys, was Richardson. And it's easy to say that. I didn't even know how many points he put up. I just saw the ticker that he put up 27. You know, he hit one big three with a shot clock running down in the second half, and then he hit another big two with a foot on the line. But that was as quiet as 27 points live in that gym as I've seen anybody have in a long time.
Right on the money, brother.
Well, he didn't do it in a flurry. I mean, he didn't have one of these, oh, well, he scored 12 of them in a 3 minute period. I mean, he just spread them out over the course of, and when you're playing 40 plus minutes in an overtime game like Josh did, you can kind of spread them out a little bit.
You know what I thought was interesting, and I noted this in my live blog that I will put in my blog tomorrow. It was interesting to me that Jay Rich went several minutes there at a key stretch in the second half without attempting a shot, which lends itself to what you're talking about, which is it was a quiet 27, which tells you how good of a ball player he is.
Hatfield, one of the things that struck me as interesting, particularly as the second half drug along, is, you know, Vandy was in the double bonus with, I think, about 5 or 6 minutes left. But the interesting thing was we didn't have, with the exception of punter, we didn't have anybody else in significant foul trouble. We rotated so many players through and put so many players either down in the post, defending those three monsters they had in there, and played so well that when I looked up at the end of the game, the only guys I saw in foul trouble, unless I've missed something, were punter with four and Carmichael with four, and everybody else had plenty of fouls to give.
I think Hubs might have ended up with four, but I think at least one of those is when we were fouling intentionally at the end of the game.
I just don't see how a roster that really is only playing 8 to 9 guys can have a team in the double bonus in the second half and nobody foul out.
How about this? And you talk about that, okay? Moore goes 36. Carmichael goes 14. Punter plays 35. Richardson plays 42. Hubs plays 34, and Reese plays 34 minutes. And when you start looking at personal fouls, Carmichael has his customary 4. He got off the bus with 3. Punter, as you said, 4, and Hubs had 4, which is gigantic that he was able to stay in the game. How did Vanderbilt let us keep those guys on the floor? And how did they let us get out of there with a win? That was mystifying mismanagement by them at the end of that game.
Guys, I don't care whether it's football, basketball, or tiddlywinks. It is always good to beat the nerds, and I'm going to enjoy this.
Never gets old. Are you going to rub it in some people's faces down in that city?
What's that?
Are you going to be rubbing it in people's faces over the next couple days?
Tony, I'll tell you something. What's interesting is usually you go to Memorial Gym, and those fans are, as much as they want you to think how intelligent they are, they're some of the most basketball-literate fans you'll ever be around. It is unmercifully bad how little they really understand about the game. And what was interesting tonight is, at least in the section I was sitting in, and I was sitting on the front row of the second level in Vandy Central.
I love those seats.
And I didn't get the normal glaring looks and clapping in your ear and yelling in your ear type of inappropriate rich folks acting bad behavior that I usually get, because I think they realized, particularly as that game wore on, and once it got to overtime, they knew they just needed to get out of there.
There's no doubt
about it. There's nothing better than watching those taillights head down Bellamy Boulevard.
Thank you, brother. You guys are the level of hatred. Hatfield, your level of hatred. Beano's level of hatred. I mean, Hatfield took a shot at the city of Nashville, and I love the city of Nashville. B.O.B. lives in the city of Nashville. I've got so many wonderful listeners in the city of Nashville.
That probably, Tony, that probably was, I guess my issue with the people is with the percentage of the Nashville population that's deluded themselves into thinking they're on par with the New Yorks and Chicagos of the world.
But you can't just apologize.
That's not an apology. That's an explanation. Well, I'm not apologizing.
That's my point. That was my point. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call.
The people who I'm talking to know that I'm talking to them, and the people who I'm not talking to know I'm not talking about them, Tony. The people who aren't the people who think Nashville's on par with New York are smart enough to know what I'm talking about.
Back to the phones we go. Let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey guys, it's the mouthpiece.
Hey buddy, speak up for me, or you have that thing in your ear again.
Hey Keith, I want to commend you, number one, for not, you know, telling us not give up on Hubs, because he has slowly put together a pretty good resume this year, hasn't he?
He's having a good year. I'll tell you the thing that he's become much better at that goes unnoticed a lot is he's become especially for a guy his size, he's become a really, really good rebounder.
Yeah. I think he led us tonight, didn't he?
I'm sure he was right up around there. I mean, I haven't looked at the final numbers yet, but he certainly, I mean, he got two or three. I mean, there was a stretch there where I think he got all of our defensive rebounds for about a 2 or 3 minute stretch. There.
Reese led the Vols in rebounding tonight with 8, but Hubs did have 7, along with Richardson, who had 7.
Yeah, Hubs had 7?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think tonight's game is weird because early on it looked like we were, should have been ahead by like double digits, but I actually left where I was watching the game at, kind of on location, thinking it was totally over. And then I get, you know, the score app says that we're in overtime. This is just a nice, you know, kind of a nice gift, I think, to get this win.
This is what you wanted to have. When we knew Saturday after Georgia that the season was, in terms of thinking about the NCAA tournament, you hate to say this, but at this point you kind of go, you know, let's get to the NIT. Let's get a couple more great memories this year. Hey, that's one right there that'll carry you through the summer. That was a lot of fun tonight.
Tony, Coach Tindall joins Coach Peterson, Buzz, and Coach Pearl is recent first-year coaches to win in Memorial. So, you know, as tough a place as that is to play, Tennessee's been pretty successful. I think we're 6-6 or 5-5 in our last – we're 500 in our last 10 or 12 games at Memorial.
Wow, that's a great number.
I was a bit disappointed that Donnie didn't take a page out of KO's book when he won his first year there and stand up on the bench and give the Vanderbilt fans the business.
I asked him about that going into the game. He said, Tony, we have to play them in a couple weeks. He's thinking ahead. He said, I don't want to do that. He said, if we're playing them once, he probably would have done it. But
hey, Tony, you'll appreciate this. Former majors say that, you know, in those locker room celebrations, we have to play him again next year. So I think that's where Tindall's at. Tindall's grounded. He loves being here. You know, he knows what it takes to win, and he actually can you know, take the steps that needs to happen for us to win games. This, the post game Tennessee has is so non-existent. I don't know that I've ever seen a team struggle the way we do inside.
We mean players.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's very true. There's just no players.
So what are you going to do?
You know, every once in a while,
you post Armani Moore up every once in a while. And tonight they had some, I thought, some excellent cutting action and trying to get some easier looks at the basket. At the end of it all, though, and I heard Bert, because I was late getting in, coming in from playing some music tonight, Bert was talking about Tariq Owens early in the game, trying to check their bigs, and he said to Bob Kessling, he said, look, I'm just going to call it like it is. That's a guy out there. That's a physical mismatch. He said, if that guy lets him catch that ball is going in. There's nothing he can do about it. And that's the absolute truth.
Guys, one thing I thought Vanderbilt did really well tonight, and I've always thought Stallings is a top-tier X is a nose guy. They would throw three passes around the perimeter, and when it looked like they had the open three and Tennessee jumped at it, they would dish it down low. And, I mean, it was automatic.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, and when they took their lead, MP, they ran a beautiful play from off a high screen where they found the guy on a back door, and it nine times out of ten, that results in a dunk. We foul him, and he only makes one of the two foul shots there. That's one of the things that kept the Vols in the game. That was a beautifully designed play because they knew they could get that any time they wanted to get it against us.
Tony, I'm pretty jaded when it comes to sports, but one thing that I've sort of came to grasp with is that winners, you know, when I'm talking about coaches, winners seem to somehow win games that seem weird. Vanderbilt has so many free throws they could have iced it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, you know, maybe it's the last coaching staff they do ice it, but whatever reason, Tindall seems to have that it, you know, that little X factor that you just end up at the end of the game with a chance to win and you pull some out. So I really think we got the right thing going. And that's a game, you know, like I was saying earlier, it felt like Tennessee should have been up by 10 early on. And then at the end of the game, it felt like no chance.
No chance. Yeah. In the last minute, I'm thinking to myself, I'm getting my notes ready and I'm thinking, how much effing longer?
Yeah.
Do I have to do this damn show after losses? Yep. You know?
No, you were dreading that because 8 minutes in, you could feel Vanderbilt had total control of that game. And I never turned games off, but I actually, you know, left where I was watching that, came back to the hotel room, and I'm thinking I'm going to turn the Twitter on, and everybody's blowing up, and we're in overtime. So, credit to Robert Hubbs. I mean, you know, this guy, he probably not a five-star, but, man, he's got to continue to put two halves together. He's got to continue to be the focal point because next year he's going to be the main cog of this team scoring.
Yes,
and
he is.
And the last thing I'll say is, as bad as Tindall's been against the spread this year, I bet you next year he's gold.
Little
Peter Poker for you.
Little Peter Poker on the way out. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
For those that don't know, that's a reference to a character, and I do mean character, actually a real human being, but a character nonetheless on our daily show that you can hear from 11 to 1 Eastern Time right here, which if you haven't tuned that in is, that's interesting. I'll say that. Tomorrow should be as well. Bert Bertelkamp tonight on Vol Network, according to a gentleman on Twitter, said, you know, Bruce is doing a real good job coaching his team, but Donnie's doing a better job this year. Donnie Tindall, if he gets to 500 in this league, Keith, will he get votes for Coach of the Year?
It's hard to see. He might get a couple. I mean, it's hard to see anybody getting many votes. If somebody finishes finishes undefeated, I think it's kind of tough not to vote for that guy. Regardless of how stacked his team is, but no, I mean, I think certainly he deserves at least. He's certainly going to be somebody that people are going to have to talk about at the end of the year.
When we beat I was going to ask you something. No. Let me get back to the phones. Get the next call in here. By the way, Kentucky, if they're in the Atlantic Coast Conference, Big East or Big 12 or out west, are they still undefeated?
No. No.
No.
Big 12. I mean, look at the number of really good teams. Look at the record of teams in that league. I mean, they may not have a team that – they may not end up with a Final Four team, but you're not going through the Big 12 undefeated. You're not going through the ACC undefeated.
Back to our phones we go, 865-200-5402. Tennessee with a win, LSU is Saturday. What time's the tip Saturday?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, odd time, huh?
Right in the middle of the day, though, so, I mean, there's no it's too early or it's too late argument.
No, it's perfect. The only problem is a lot of lovers are going to have responsibilities. I wonder if that'll hold the crowd down. Let's go back to the phones. 42 past the hour. And, you know, let's make this our final call. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. I kind of get the point here. Hello and welcome. You're on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, Tony, this is Tad Poe from West Tennessee.
Man, so glad to talk to you. Thank you, brother, for being there.
I'm in Jackson, and I'm real proud of the effort Robert Hubbs cashed in for us tonight here in West 10. But I don't want to analyze anything. It's already been done. I just want to tell a story as
Please.
We close tonight.
Please do.
I was in Knoxville for the Auburn game, and I emailed our friend Big Gulp on Friday morning just to tell him how wonderful a job they were doing. And I get there, and after the game, we go to Twin Peaks. Great food, great drinks, scenic views. And I realized I left my debit card there after the game, and we were actually headed back home on Sunday afternoon. I realized that, and so I called them, and they agreed that they would mail me my debit card back to me. Well, guess what I received in the mail before my debit card got back to me? I received an autographed 8x10 of Coach Donnie Tindall. And I just think that speaks volumes of our coaches in Big Gulp, and the fact that I emailed them and left my debit card in Knoxville, and the autographed print was in my mailbox before my debit card.
That is amazing. So you came up, you met those guys. You're thinking, though, surely my debit card's going to get put in the mail before my... Hey, you're very fortunate in this day and age to get your debit card back, too, brother. If you got your
Absolutely.
Debit card back, you had a real healthy, I would say, two-for-two there, my friend.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I got my debit card back 2 days ago.
Here's the thing I love about what these guys are doing, and I really hope they make it. They're so good at what you just talked about, the people aspect of this deal, and Konzo never embraced it and really didn't care to embrace it. We had a kid call the show, and Keith will remember this, named Brock, and he's the mayor of Sono, Phil's nephew, which is beside the point because it could have been any child listening, but he called one of our post-game shows. I guess it would have been after the Auburn game, and Justin Phelps was listening to us, and he private messaged me and said, "Hey, Tony, I heard that young man on the air. Get that young guy's information. I'll take care of him." Sent that kid a basketball in the mail, an autographed to a 13-year-old kid. Now, what do you think that means to a 13-year-old kid to get an autographed basketball in the mail?
It's unbelievable. I hope we can make it through this and keep these guys around for many years to come. It's going to be very special.
It is going to be very special. And I appreciate you spending part of your night with us, my friend.
Yes, sir.
And greetings in beautiful Jackson.
Let me...
I thought about it, then I hit the button.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
so much more fun when you win.
Oh, it's just so great. Right? It's just so... You know, it's this is what keeps you coming back for more, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like Beano said, the most enjoyable thing in sports is unexpected success.
Yep. These guys, another thing that's really great about sports is when you find a group of people that you can enjoy it with. And we're doing that here, and that's fun. That's why those watch parties are so much fun, and we need to do that this year before it's over. And the other observation for you, Keith, is that I'm not sure if this team has achieved critical mass with the rank-and-file average, quote-unquote, Channel 10 watcher. And I did like how tonight Channel 10, no offense to them, but they did a story comparing this upcoming football team to the 98 National Championship team, which is interesting. But the rank-and-file TV watcher out there, I'm not sure if they're quite plugged into this because people think Tindall's in trouble, plus the team's not great. But to those who have watched this year, man, it has been really enjoyable this basketball season so far. For as mediocre as the record is, this has really been a lot of fun, Keith.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this team now all they have to do now is split South Carolina and Vanderbilt at home, and they're going to finish at 500 at worst. I mean, absolute worst-case nuclear scenario, that's where they're at.
Yep.
And this is probably, I mean, other than maybe Kevin O'Neill's first year and Wade Houston's last year, I mean, I don't know that there's ever been a less talented Tennessee roster in my lifetime.
Totally agree with that.
And if you look at it that way, I mean, Houston's last team had a guy that played in the NBA, and so did KO's first team. I mean, we think Josh is going to, but until he does, he hasn't. And so, I mean, to accomplish what they've done against, hey, they didn't beat a bunch of nobodies in the non-conference schedule. You look at what the teams, even the smaller conference teams they beat in the non-conference have done as they've moved into league play. Pretty much all those guys are in the top half of their league. So, I mean, it's not like he came in here and scheduled directional school X 12 times to rack up a bunch of early wins to get to this number either.
Which is what I would have done. I would have gone the Cliff Ellis route.
Oh, the toughest team I would have played, if I knew that was the roster I was going to have, I'd had every team from the SWAC and the MEAC I could get in here.
Every scrub known to mankind would have been in here. Totally agree. Hatfield on the way out. Excellent job by you. I want to appreciate on my friends at Smartway, where I'll be on Friday for Fish Hospitality Pantry Community Day, as we love on our community. And tomorrow I'll be at the Hardee's over on the Bill Clinton Highway with tickets to the LSU game for Saturday, courtesy of Clarkey at SelectTicketService.com. Doing a dry. And I want to say to you, Hatfield, give me a final word here on the way out, brother.
Well, Tony, on a night that's just a fabulous win for all the Tennessee family. I mean, anytime you can beat a despised rival in their building, coming back from dire circumstances in, it's great. But I'll leave everybody with a comment from, as we said earlier, we lost what I think is one of the true great characters in the history of basketball. And that thought is, Tony, and this kind of goes out to, in case there are any NCAA folks coming into town to finish up their investigation into Donnie Tindall, nine out of ten teams are cheating. The other one is in last place.
Thank you, Hatfield.
Thanks, Tom.
That is an all-time great quote right there from Hatfield. 9 out of 10 teams are cheating. And the other one, my friends, the other one is in last place. That's pretty outstanding. For all those behind the scenes, I want to thank you. I want to appreciate you. I do appreciate you. I appreciate you being there. I appreciate tonight. I appreciate this Tennessee team. I appreciate my friends at Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Clancy's Whiskey House for sponsoring Keith's appearance. I want to wish my friend Mark a happy 45. Brother, you're starting to count backwards. It's pretty next level. I want you around. To the rest, to my family upstairs, to God above, I give thanks for this night. I give thanks for you. It's another victorious day in Rocky Top. Tony Basilio, over and out. Roger and Wilco.
Westwood One presents Live from Gillies. Hi, everyone. This is Jim Duncan coming to you with another hour of live music from the world's largest and most famous nightclub. This week from Gillies in Pasadena, Texas, it's a pleasure to bring to our stage for the very first time a fine new songwriter and singer. Please welcome with me, Keith Whitley.
Touch me, oh, it shook me. taxi, I could hear my telephone ring.
Oh, very much. We appreciate it. It's a real pleasure to be here at Gillies, and glad to have you folks with us tonight. We've been looking forward to coming out here for a long time, visiting with you folks. We're glad that y'all chose to come out and be with us tonight. We hope that you enjoy the show that we got lined out for you. I'd like to do a song for y'all right now that I wrote a couple of years ago. And before I sing this one, I always like to apologize to all the women in the audience because this is not really the way I feel about women. But I actually wrote this song, as I said, a couple of years ago, and I wrote it as kind of a joke. And then I found out from singing it all over the country that a lot of men seem to be able to identify with this song for some reason or other. Really can't understand why, because like I say, I don't feel this way about women at all. But Gene Watson recorded it on one of his albums, and like I say, we get a lot of requests for it, so some of you men must be able to identify with it. So I'll do it for the men that are able to identify with it, and apologize to the women once again. It's called "Oh Lord, I Want My Rib Back," and it goes like this here.
For more of the Keith Whitley Show, live from Gillies. Now back to Keith Whitley, live from Gillies.
Shirley's changed her number. At least I know she loved Mary. My ex found someone else. I can't even find a friend. Where are all the girls I used to cheat with? I've gone all over town and I've made the joints I.
she's somewhere getting well. It's not my fault as far as I can tell. And passed off down south. You know she was my wife's best friend. Where are all the girls I used to keep with? I'd fall all over town, made the joints I'd long around, even blow straight cover in New York and loud. My ex is out tonight. Could be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong, start doing right. You don't care about what I think. I think I'll just stay here and drink. Hey, putting you down won't square the deal. At least you know the way I feel. Stay here and think. It's close and you will hear that loud jukebox playing in my ear. Ain't no woman gonna change the way I think. I think I'll just stay here and think.
We'll be back with Keith Whitley, live from Gillies. Get back to Keith Whitley, live from Gillies.
I've been throwing horseshoes over my left shoulder. I've spent most all my life searching for that four-leaf clover. Yet you ran with me, chasing my rainbow. That's the way love goes, babe. That's the music God made for all the world to sing. It's never wrong, it grows. Losing makes me sorry. You say, honey, now don't you worry.
Was my heart to set my sweet Charlotte free.
63. I was so proud you went with me. Everyone turned their head when we walked in. They said, look at that perfect path. As you blessed from all the stars, I just swelled up with pride, grinning from ear to ear inside. An hour full of dance and fun, an hour later and I got my 57 off to heaven. Backseat loving girl, you're something. Seat belt.